Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah!
Whatever you celebrate, happy holidays for all of you out there listening. This is the Rojo Rocket. Thank you for listening to Whiskey Ginger all the way through this entire year. It's been incredible for me, man. I'm so stoked to have you guys aboard for this ride. I really do appreciate it. I want to say thank you because I really mean it. I'm thankful for all the fans that have supported me, that are going to continue to come along on this awesome journey. Starting in 2020, we got a bunch of new news. As you know, Bobby Lee and I are starting our podcast, which I'm so excited about. We got the Red Rocket Tour 2020, which I'm so excited about. That's going to be incredible, going to Edmonton in January, then Denver, then Minneapolis, and then Madison. And then February, March, April, May, we got a bunch of dates up at andrewsantino.com. Please subscribe to the show. Spread the word, give it 5 stars, push it around to everyone you know. We also have a Patreon listed below. The Patreon is where all the solo episodes are going to live, and live Q&A, plus a bunch of merch deals and all sorts of cool exclusive content you can't get anywhere else. So I'm excited to bring you these new things, as well as Dissa Hat. Dude, I got merch now, man. I'm so excited to have merch because we haven't had it before. People were asking when we're going to make shirts. We have a cool shirt that's selling like crazy. The In Here We Pour Whiskey. That's the number one shirt I think we're selling by far. The Red Rocket hat. We have a Red Rocket beanie. We have a bunch of different shirts. Go to andrewsantino.com. Click on the store. You can see all the good stuff we have. Everything is in the description below for Patreon and for the store and the website. And I'm so happy that you guys have been here supporting me. I really do appreciate it. And for right now, enjoy the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey, $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again. Today is Mr. Nate Bargatze. Nate?
Yes.
I love your Italian last name, Bargatze.
Yeah, you know what's funny? We did 23andMe.
Oh, shit.
0.0% Italian.
Not even a little bit?
No, I might make this a joke just so you don't. But
yeah. We'll blank this out.
No, you can just, I don't want, if someone's like, oh, this is doing material.
You and your wife, 23andMe?
No, I just did it. She got it for me for Christmas or something in last year. And that was a good present.
That is a good gift.
Yeah, it's like a gift that you're, you know, because it's hard to buy, I think, for husbands and wives. And she got me that, and we did it. And then my uncle, he's like my second cousin, he's older, but he was like, well, that's wrong. He just wouldn't.
He didn't believe it?
Didn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, my old bag did it. She did it, and I told her I wouldn't do it with her because I'm not gonna. Yeah. I don't want to give my DNA. I don't want to give more DNA to a company I know nothing about.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
What are they gonna do with it?
I don't know, but the idea that I don't know is like.
It could be, you know, I think far down the line, you know, say in 40 years. Yeah, we could be this car says like, I wish I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, yeah, we made you. We made a bunch of yous.
Yeah.
We copied your DNA. We made like 14 Nates.
Yeah, we're out there just killing it, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, not all of them. Some of them are probably doing really bad shit.
Yeah.
I just think it's creepy to give somebody your DNA that you don't know. There's no voucher. It's not like a regulated industry, so it just creeps me out a little bit. What are they doing with it when it's over? My assumption is that they have a business, right? So they're doing it for profit because you pay them.
Yeah.
But that can't be the only reason. Why would they really want
it's
all
like
that?
Selling your, when they can sell your info and stuff.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Except you're selling your life source.
Yeah. I could see, yeah. I mean, they already have it, so.
Yeah, they have it.
I feel like they can get anything, that anybody can get anything, and you'd
your
have to
DNA
really
is pretty tough to acquire unless they really hunt you down to try to find it. But I mean, you electively were like, here, fuck it, yeah, take it.
I melted off. I paid. I paid
you
them.
You paid to them to have it. More information. Yeah. Your wife did it too?
No.
No, so she just gave it to you.
She's a little like you. I don't think.
Conspiracy?
Yeah, like loves the idea of people having your stuff. I just, you know, I mean, look, if I murder someone, then I'll be pretty upset that I did it.
Would you ever murder somebody, you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I just don't see where the reason would come up. But, you know, I'm not to say.
You're
never,
not going to count
never
it
say
out.
Never.
Yeah, don't know? Count it out.
Don't count it out.
Don't
yeah.
count. Never say never. Justin Bieber. Never say never.
Never
dude.
Say never. Maybe
favorite
you do
artist.
Murder someone.
I think there's a reason to murder people. Don't you think, somebody pisses you off enough in your life where you think, maybe I just got to take care of this person?
Yeah. I mean, if they do something to, you know, someone in your family. I always think, like, how many people do you think your neighborhood? You think you have anybody remotely near here
dude,
murdered somebody?
We looked up when we first moved in here, we looked at the Megan's Law. You know yeah. what that is? Like for perverts?
Yeah.
All over the place.
Really?
It's everywhere, by the way. This yeah. is like this all over the place. But convicted sex offenders aren't just people that like touch kids. It's also like
public urination.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Indecent exposure can be like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like to kids. It could be drunk outside of a bar, you know,
yeah.
fucking do something. There could yeah. be a million different reasons that you get in trouble. So they're not all kid touchers, but I think it's weird to look at the map when you see how many people close to you are like creeps.
Yeah.
It kind of freaks you out a little bit. You live in a really remote location though, huh?
No. We're in a neighborhood.
You're in a neighborhood?
Yeah. And I haven't looked it up.
Look it up.
I don't know.
Yeah. If it pinpoints your own home.
Yeah. Like, oh.
It's like, it's you, Nate.
It's, yeah.
It's, we know
am
more.
I?
Yeah. Am I? Questioned a little bit?
Yeah.
I did that when I watched The Joker. When I watched The Joker, I questioned if I was a psychopath too. Did you watch
yeah,
that movie?
I have not.
When I watched it, I was like, am I?
Well, they say comics are.
Yeah.
Comics have the tendency. And I think it's like if you can wrap your head around it. Like, you know, it's like how much stuff can you wrap your head around? Like, I could see what it gets to that point. I remember someone telling me about, you know, people that kill their kids, like, you know, like, which is insane. But then there's like parents that are like, when you have a kid like crying and like, you can see when someone's just like, so you're like, I can see how a kid could drive you to the point of it.
Of murdering
like,
them?
You have to be crazy. But so if you have the craziness in you, a kid can be relentless.
Yeah.
And like, so you can see how like it can, you know, it's a dog barking that never stops. Like it just can, you can see where they get to that point.
How many kids do you have?
Just one. We used to have two. No.
But did it bark too much?
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did kill that barking. Yeah. Kid. I killed the other one.
So yeah, we'll take it right back. You did kill one of your family members.
Well, I didn't think that counted.
Well, it's on camera and, you know, recorded. So
yeah,
that's that. You have one little kid. Is it joyous?
Seven.
Or is it trust?
It's
it
the greatest thing ever.
It is.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever. I mean, they're, you know, just, you know, I mean, their face, they're, you just love this thing more than anything.
Does it look like you or your wife?
It can switch. At the very beginning, it was my wife all day long. And then, she's seven now. Now you can see more of me in her.
Yeah. Are you nervous that it's a girl?
No, I think you know, I mean, you definitely like, I was excited to have a girl because I think you have a father-daughter relationship is pretty special. And so I really wanted a girl I was very happy to have a girl. And then, but then now when you like, there's some stuff I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a boy. Yeah. Like we have a lot, you know, because then our daughter wants all girl stuff. And like, I feel like our dog's a girl and like, you just, everything's a girl. And like, a
lot of girl stuff around the house.
A lot of girl stuff. And then, when
you
go buy
toys. Like girl stuff too.
I like girl stuff, so it worked out.
Yeah.
But it's, when you go buy toys, you know, for Christmas, you're like, I wish it'd be fun to be going to buy, you know, Ninja Turtle, whatever.
Guns, footballs.
Into.
Yeah.
Just guns.
Just that's what kids like is guns. Footballs. Yeah.
I try to roughhouse with her a little bit. Like, just, you know, you want her to have.
Pull her hair, punch
yeah.
her a little bit,
yeah,
pull out
yeah,
a tooth
yeah.
when she's not looking.
Yeah, just get after it. Let her know what's up. Always let her know that I am stronger than her. And
don't forget I'm strong. Yeah, right when she goes to sleep, you close the door, you go, I'm stronger than you.
I'm unbelievably stronger.
You'll never be able to
let my
beat
wife
me.
Know the same thing. you know, constantly just pulling her hair, punching her, always going, I am stronger.
I'm stronger than you.
I am the strongest one in this house.
There's something inside of me that thinks that your wife might be stronger than you.
No, she's pretty tiny.
She's weak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's probably has some strength, but she's just very small.
We worked with someone today. The woman was jacked. The wife was jacked.
Yeah.
And arguably, in my mind, maybe could hurt most of the men in the room, that I was like, this woman is so jacked. She had to get big because her husband's big. He's a Mr. Jacked muscle guy.
Yeah.
But the wife was so big. Like, she was, I mean, she had, her arms were the size of my waist. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And she scared me a few times when she was like joking around. She got real aggressive. She had those like spikes, you know, steroid spikes, when someone's like, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. And you're like, I don't know. I think that's real.
Yeah. They're going about to go after it.
Yeah. Like, she almost felt like almost a couple of snaps.
Yeah.
Really sweet, but I did get nervous. I was like, she could beat the shit out of me. When we were kids, it was never, no moms were into CrossFit. There was no jacked moms. Now there's like jacked moms.
Yeah.
With massive legs.
Well, they were, you just had moms.
Yeah, they were just a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the most, they did the floor slidey exercise shit. You know, what was that? Like all that, those videotapes, those VHS tapes. Did your mom do that stuff when you were a kid?
No.
Never?
No. My mom didn't. But yeah, I think moms would.
You would see it.
In shape.
Was your mom stay-at-home mom?
She did a mix of, she did some of that, and then she worked at a bank for a long time.
As a teller?
Yep.
I'm always fascinated by that.
Yeah.
It seems we had such a boring job for somebody.
Well, my mom likes to talk. She's a people person, so
you're
getting to really talk to people and see people every day. And then she worked at a bank that was a smaller bank. I mean, they're big now in Nashville, but they were, you know, it felt like a very family-oriented bank. It was a bank that you knew everybody. And when we bought our house in Nashville, they did something. I forget what they did. Pinnacle Bank. They did something to, because we whatever we have to sign to buy a house. I don't know how to even buy a house.
Did you buy a house?
I did. I bought. We've had two different houses. We've moved, and I've yet to walk into it before it was bought. I was out of town both times.
This sounds like when you ask a kid how much a house costs, and they have no, you know, when you're like, how much? And they're like, $40? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly right.
There was a comic, Jason Good, in New York, and he always had a joke about a horse. And he said, he's like, how much does a horse weigh? He's like, I don't know, 2,000 pounds, 100 pounds. Like, he's like,
it's very funny
to be like, I don't know how much a horse is. Like, you just have no idea.
How could you?
Yeah.
It's such a ridiculous thing.
You have no idea what to gauge it off of. Like, someone's. Right. They just talk about cars, like the weight.
Do you know how much a car weighs?
I know big ones, I think, are like 5,500 or like is a very heavy car.
That's a heavy car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very big.
But like, so how much, you know, it's like, but I just saw that. And so I wouldn't know, you know, it's like, how much is a Honda Accord? What, you're like, I don't know, 2,000 pounds?
48,000 pounds.
Is it?
No.
I don't know. I don't know why I believe that.
Super light.
5,500 was it. I just said 5,500.
Is it?
Yeah, I was thinking it was 4,800. Yeah, but it has to be 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, a couple thousand.
Yeah.
Depending on the car, for sure.
Yeah.
But what, Pinnacle Bank did what for you guys when you moved in?
They gave us, like, it was the loan that we had to do. It was, like, on a weekend, and someone went and did it. Like, was able to, like, I think almost, like, front us the money just until a couple days later so we could get the house.
Ah.
And
those Netflix checks aren't coming in, huh?
This was just the stand-ups Netflix check, so. It was, but it was very nice, and it was like a bank that would, like, you know, it wasn't just this enormous bank. It was a bank that you could call someone, and they could be like, "Yeah, we'll just do it."
At home. They have to put on some shoes to come finish the loan. They're like, "I'm at home. I'll be there."
Yeah, yeah. They'll figure it out.
I live in the back.
It's nice to have businesses like that's like a mom and pop shop type.
It's a real mom and pop. The new idea of mom and pop is so phony now. When you hear someone, like, especially here in LA, when they're like, "It's a mom and pop," and you're like, "There's 17 of them."
Yeah.
And it's a corporation that owns them. They're like, I know, but they're small.
Yeah. It's like you own a franchise.
Yeah.
Like McDonald's, some of them are technically mom and pops because they're owned by a guy.
Yeah.
And they're franchised out. So they're all mom and pop in the world, but it's
a lot of pop and pops, though.
A lot of pop and pop.
A lot of pop pop. A lot of gay couples own McDonald's. You know that?
It's the McDonald's?
It's the largest franchise owned by gay couples.
What?
Yeah. That's made up. I have no idea. That's not true at all.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But Chick-fil-A is the opposite. Chick-fil-A doesn't allow gays. That's the polar opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that big by you?
Yeah.
Not allowing gays? No, the Chick-fil-A shit. I never had it. I grew up in Chicago, didn't mean anything to us, never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Came to the West Coast. All I heard was people like, oh, Chick-fil-A's coming. It was like such a big deal.
It was huge. It was, we had it, I don't remember as much growing up, but I, like, you know, it was definitely a big deal, but it wasn't as like, when I was in high school, it wasn't, I don't think.
It was just a thing. It was like Taco Bell. It's like a thing that was around that you'd eat sometimes.
Yeah, when did Chick-fil-A, were they even, I don't even remember going to it growing up.
I mean, I had
maybe
it
we didn't
once.
Have it. And then I had it on this trip.
You did?
Yeah.
Do you like fast food?
I do.
Is that your like vice?
Yeah, ice cream's become a real big problem.
It's getting out lately. Of control.
Yeah, it's real. It's not good. I eat it every night at home. If I'm in a hotel too, I'll eat it.
Will you go buy it, bring it to the hotel?
I won't go buy and bring it to the hotel. I'll hopefully order it. But now, like if you get into some nice hotels, they have like gelato. And I'm a pretty chocolate ice cream. I don't need a bunch of stuff. I don't need it to be.
You don't want the fruits.
I don't want your take on it. I want what chocolate ice cream is, you know.
Supposed
it's
to
thing.
Be.
It's what it's supposed
so
to be.
So nothing added.
Nothing added.
So Ben and Jerry's is like your nightmare.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They put in like a whole cabinet.
Every
of shit.
You can't even get regular, just like straight up. And even sometimes chocolate is like double chocolate. And you're like, just be chocolate. Chocolate is...
They won't do regular chocolate.
Everything's got like a little twist to it.
Yeah, because at some point we went too far, right? Like, what was it, 31 flavors?
Yeah.
Like I think...
32, maybe. No, was it 31, 32? I don't know.
Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors, right?
Yeah.
Such maybe. A rude number. Just be 30. Why not be a round number? This doesn't make sense. But 31 flavors. I remember thinking as a kid, it's like, that's so many flavors. I'll never be able to get through all of them. But then you realize, just like cable channels, you won't like 85% of them.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm only going to like the top five.
Yeah.
So the other things are just for show. I never understood that. Yeah. Like we were in St. Louis. St. Louis? Me and Allie Makovsky. And we were traveling around town. We went to one of these famous ice cream shops, kind of like McConnell's out here. And it was fancy, 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 right? Like lavender ice cream and all that stuff. And I ended up just getting... mint chocolate chip. I was just like this good old fashioned mint chocolate chip. But like all the other ones I tried, I wanted to try them all. And then once you try them, you're like, this is cool. I can't eat a cup of this.
Yeah.
It'll make me sick.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to eat a whole cup of this weird honeysuckle pomegranate.
Yeah.
It never made sense to me. I was like, nobody could eat that much.
I go to those places and get just chocolate.
Just the like, regular just old, the regular, if they even have it.
If they have it, I'll get the closest to that I can get. I can do a sundae too, but with... But I just like chocolate syrup on
you
that.
You should open up an ice cream shop. Nate's Just Chocolate.
I've wanted to open a restaurant called No Onions and just have, we don't do onions and just have no, like it's just pretty straightforward.
No
I
onions.
I don't like, I've gotten a little better with onions if they're fried, like, well, they're fried or if they're like, what is it, sauteed? Like where they're
soft. If they're cooked in a pan.
I don't like tomatoes. Tomatoes I don't like either. I would do no tomatoes, no onions.
Can't do tomato. Makes me nauseous.
Yeah, I don't. And I like. And people always say ketchup. They're like, "How do you like ketchup?" Like, and you're like, "Well, it's completely different."
It's cooked tomato.
Yeah.
Do you know the science behind this?
No.
The chemical composition of tomatoes when they're cooked changes for your taste buds very drastically, much different than most vegetables. So, when you cook tomato, or tomato's a fruit, isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It has
the
seeds.
Fruit?
It has seeds. Fruits have seeds. Vegetables do not. Yeah. Tomatoes has seeds. It's a fruit, just like an apple. Yeah, it's one of those weird things. Anyway, they suck. But when you cook them, the chemical composition changes so drastically that your taste buds react to it significantly differently. So it receives it different. Not like when you cook broccoli.
Yeah.
Nothing really changes that drastically, except it brings out some of the more health aspects.
Yeah.
But with tomatoes, it physically tastes different for people cooked. So cooked tomatoes, love. Like on a pizza, yeah, I like sun-dried tomatoes. I like just cooked tomatoes, any version. But raw, nah, I won't do it. I refuse.
I wonder if I could do sun-dried tomatoes then. I just don't even try.
I would try those. You'd like them.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Sun-dried tomatoes I like. Stewed tomatoes, like chunks of tomatoes in an Italian sauce.
Yeah.
I can do that too.
Yeah, I don't.
You try it for me. Will you text me and let me know when you try
it? I will. Because I didn't know that was even a door open to me.
I know.
I
watched your eyes light up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I still don't. I'm not, you know, I don't want to dive into them. I don't need them in my life that much. But
you're not going to attack tomatoes head on.
No, I'm not like, you know, My wife likes tomatoes, but I don't. I try to do stuff. I will try anything.
You'll try any food.
Yeah. You know, I've had alligator and what I'm trying to, all I think is like ostrich or trying to get anything weird.
I've had a lot snake. Of that. Snake is good, actually. Yeah. Yeah. When it's cooked right, it's good. There's a place here in LA called Animal. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
You eat meat, though, right? Mm-hmm. Or no? Yeah. If you eat meat, you should go. It has all sorts of weird meat, crazy different traditional stuff.
Yeah.
But also weird, off the beaten path, yak, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though. I mean,
yeah.
Everything comes with so much flavor.
It's funny that it would be here.
In LA?
I just think feel like this is such a hell, like, you know, it's like not on board with so much stuff.
This is a massive city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people lump us into this Hollywood thing all the time, but you're like,
they do.
You know, there's also like another 20 million people here that don't work in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's like LA gets a shitty rap. That it's like saying New York is Times Square. It's like, I guess that's a thing that's there.
Yeah.
But it's not even close to being New York.
Yeah. Everybody's like regular.
Everyone's just a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone's
there's
in
a
Mickey
lot more
Mouse
normal
costume.
People.
Yeah. That's LA. There's a lot more like working class people than get could give any credit for. Nobody knows that. They're like, what do you mean? Everyone's out there the Hollywood phony. You're like,
yeah.
Okay. I guess in what, I guess around us.
Well, the perspective, is that the right word? Right. Perspective that
sure.
you give. I think I felt like I was searching for another word. But it's that you see on TV, you see this, that's the stuff that you see. I mean, I've lived here, so I know, but I think you just think it's this. And then when I come out here, I'm completely in that world.
Yeah.
That you think that's all it is.
It's hard to escape when we work in it, but that's why, like, that's why it's nice. Like, you know, I moved away from a lot of it so I could live in my own little nook.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be kind of not in the hustle and bustle. I lived in it next to the Comedy Store for years. I wanted to be able to walk there. And it was nice to live in West Hollywood, but I just, it's really hard. You have to get out of that scene. And it's really interesting. The moment I go back over the hill, I feel different because it's the vibrant, the like the frequency is different of like people and what's going on. And you do feel like it's all kind of the flow and the hustle and bustle is so different. And so I understand why from people from places where they don't have all of that, when they come here, they're like, whoa, it's weird. It's nuts here.
Yeah.
I get it. Like I do. But also I love it. I don't know if I could ever disappear completely from it. It'd be hard.
New York was like that, where I lived the most. And when I go back to New York, I don't know how I could live there again.
In Manhattan? Did you live in Manhattan?
No, I lived in Queens.
Yeah.
And it was like that. It was like very normal. A lot of people were normal. And but it's just so hectic.
Yeah.
And so when I go back now and I'm in Manhattan, it's just, it's like so much. It's a lot. And then you're like, I don't think I could go back now and live there.
Well, and to be fair too, you moved to a big, small city is what I want to call it, like Nashville. I'd never done Nashville. I played a club for the first time a month ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different than I thought, really. I never got to explore the city as much the first time I ever went there, but it's a city, but it's not a big city. It's more like a little, it's like a little town city. It's interesting.
Yeah, like Charlotte.
You still get the vibe of like having all the city stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
yeah, people could live there. I mean, people live downtown now, or in the Gulch is this cool area. It's a walking area like in the city.
Yeah, I went
like,
down there.
Yeah, so you could go live down there, and I think you would have a completely different experience than what I have, which is in the suburbs of Nashville.
You're way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not way out. No, I mean, it's 20 minutes to downtown. But you just would never go downtown. Like, there's no...
You don't. You would never go.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's in town and you might go, or maybe you go eat at a restaurant and they're down there, but you're not... I'm not really going downtown.
No.
Like, yeah, there's nothing really to do.
Well, let me say this. This is not... Don't take offense to this if you're a Titans fan.
I'm going to the game Sunday.
Okay. Well, that stadium.
It's... Yeah.
Mm-mm. It's like they didn't finish it.
Well,
it's like something's missing. We were coming over the bridge, and I was like, "What is it? What happened?"
They're yeah, not, it's well, it's because open.
Do they need a loan middle. Or something? It's the weirdest looking thing.
It's you know, it's 20 years now. 97, I think, is when they
built it
or something, maybe 99 or something like that. And it's so they need it updated. I believe
it's pretty.
And
yeah.
It's been there for a little bit, and I feel like it was. you know, we built it right before stadiums started becoming what they are now.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, you got Atlanta and Dallas. And so you have all this. I think everything should be domes.
Yeah.
For everything.
You do?
I do. No one.
You don't like cold weather football?
People that say they like it don't are not at that game.
Well, yeah, so I don't like, need to go to the game, but I want to watch them do it.
Yeah, you want to watch them do it, but like, if you want people to go to the game, which is fun, then you can't. It can't be 10 degrees outside.
Sure. I mean, I grew up in Chicago going to freezing games.
Yeah, and it's like I get the you're miserable, and now we're in such a comfortable like life that no one's like wants to do that. You got these TVs that are 60 inches. Everybody has 60-inch TVs or something. So you can watch it perfectly. I mean, even when I watch my teams, the Titans or Vanderbilt, or I like watching them on TV because then, too, I want to hear them, what they're going to say about all this stuff, and you want to be able to see all that stuff. So
you like play-by-play.
Yeah, you like hear them. I mean, especially Vanderbilt. Like, I feel like we don't get talked about a ton. So I like to hear, especially if we're like we played Notre Dame last season, and I was like excited to listen to that because you're hearing people that you never talk about Vanderbilt,
right? And do they know what they're talking about?
No, I don't think anybody knows what like because they don't cover Vanderbilt, like they don't cover. So I always think that with the Titans too. Like, I mean, I love, pardon the interruption, and when you hear them talk about the Titans, sometimes they can say stuff. Like Tannehill took over from Mariota, and they're like, I don't know why they're doing that. And you're like, because you're not watching them regularly.
Right.
And so that happens everywhere. If anybody talks about your team, they're not in it as much as you.
Unless it's a big market. Broad,
unless it's Chicago. Or, I mean,
we just get trampled on. We just get made fun of all the time. But, I mean, that's just because of our history. But you're right. Especially SportsCenter, you're talking about East Coast programming, so they really favor the Northeast.
Oh yeah, they talk about the Redskins like all the time, and you're like, dude, nobody cares.
Most people don't even know where that team is. You know that? They took a poll. Most people don't know where Redskins play. Yeah, they have no idea.
Oh wow.
Well, DC throws off most Americans. I feel like you ask most Americans where DC is, they're like, near New York, I think. Yeah.
It's its own little thing.
Yeah, I think people forget how geographically challenged most Americans are.
Yeah.
You know, you ever seen those polls when they do, like Kimmel does that sometimes, where they're like, how many states in the United States? Everyone gets it wrong. They're like 46 or 48. We added the two. Yeah. Nobody knows.
I always wanted to say 52 sometimes.
Just because it sounds like we added two. Yeah. People love the added two. Alaska and Hawaii. Right. I forgot about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say 54.
Yeah.
I say we added them twice just in case.
Yeah. Just to make sure.
We like them.
It's like getting remarried.
You've been remarried? You're going to get remarried?
But I'm saying if you propose again to
your, you got to do it. Yeah. Would you ever do that? Get married again to your wife?
I always think I owe my wife another wedding. Like,
Was your first one bad?
It wasn't bad. I've talked about it in my act, but it was not bad. It was just, we had like a lot of stuff. It was just not expensive, you know.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It was, you know, I don't think it was, you know, it wasn't this big party. It wasn't this big. You go to all these other weddings. It wasn't just, it was fun. It was fine. And like,
you sound like you loved it. Yeah. You sound like it was perfect.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, it wasn't big. We didn't have you know, I got married in 2006. So it was fine. But I always just thought like, you know, we could have done one that's,
could have like thrown a big bash.
Yeah. Could have done a bigger of a bash. Like, all my friends, because it was like at home, and we did it on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's good luck.
Yep. And then we did Friday the 13th. We had people die. People died from
people
that
died
wedding.
At the wedding?
No, from the wedding. The guy that sold us the ring died, committed suicide. And then because of the wedding, that's how bad it was.
He was like, it was just not fun.
He goes, it just was a brutal time.
Yeah,
and I mean, not a lot of people even invite the person that sells them the ring, but we did.
You did?
No.
What a strange thing to
just
do.
To go like,
but maybe.
And I would love for you to come to this wedding.
He's like, he was honored.
Oh God, I'd rather kill myself. And then he did. and then we had the guy, the photographer. He died. He had cancer. Like, but it was just
anybody else you knocked off the list. Any other grandparents died?
No, not yet. So
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You had a 10-year reunion. That's your 10-year anniversary?
That's what I call it.
Yeah, the reunion.
Yep.
Did you do something big for that?
Did we do anything? I don't think we did anything
big. Sounds like a no. Yeah.
No. I mean, my regular life, I feel like in this business is big and stuff. You go to places. And
yeah, but I mean for stuff. Her.
I didn't do, what did I, no, I got her, yeah, I got her earrings, like very nice earrings.
What's the best gift you've ever bought your wife?
I was always a pretty good gift giver, but I don't ever remember anything now. These diamond earrings I got her, and they were, because she wanted, nice diamond earrings. They're nothing crazy, but they were.
Hangies?
No. But they had a story behind them and like how they're made, and it was an earring that like is not really a cut or something that's not done anymore.
Ooh.
And yeah, but you can't even tell.
Well, right. People wouldn't know.
No one's going to walk up. But like the lady that we got them from, it's just all her stuff is she's on her own, and she just finds stuff that's pretty unique and has like something to it.
Oh, that's
a little
cool.
Bit more. So it's not.
You're a good gift giver then.
Yeah, I don't think I'm as good now. I'm falling off.
I'm terrible.
But I was. I could usually come up with something.
I'm
but
I'm so
forgetting
bad.
Everything right
I'd
now.
I have no idea what I'm going to give the bag for Christmas. It sucks.
Just not calling her the bag, maybe, you know?
No. See, that's her name.
That's her name.
Yeah, her name's the bag. I introduced you to her. Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
I thought we were just being fun in there, but.
No. That's her real name, the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bag.
Yeah, no. I have no idea what I would give her. I have no. I'm so bad at that shit. It's unbelievable. I try as hard as I can to try to cultivate something in my mind that would be worth it or meaningful, and I'm stupid when it comes to that stuff. I don't know. I just want you to tell me. What do you want? I need you to tell me what you want, because I'm going to get it for you.
That's why, like, when she got me the 23andMe, it was like a good. I think now you got to give a gift that's something that they're not going to do themselves. Like, it's almost like something cool. Hmm. Something that's like, oh yeah, you know what? I would have wanted to try this. And, you know.
I can't figure out what that is, though.
Yeah, it's like an experience.
Yeah, experiences are cool.
Yeah.
I guess that's smart. Yeah, live stuff. I should just write this down. You should just tell me what
to get. Yeah, yeah. Well, luckily we're recording it.
This isn't. None of this stuff's running. No. I just wanted to come hang out with you for an hour.
Yeah, I like it.
I said, come over, man. Can you kill some time tonight and come over to the house?
Yeah, and that's, you know.
Before you leave LA. Are you excited to go back to Nashville?
Yeah, I go back home and have a week and go get all Christmas stuff and do that.
And then you're back on the road?
Not till January. January 21st. Unless you need people to go out to. It's like Joliet, Illinois, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Joliet, dude. Where's what's in Joliet? Is there a theater out there?
Yeah.
In Joliet?
Yeah.
Well, have you ever played?
It's a big one. Is there a club there?
Not in Joliet that I know of. But I people like me, we
Peoria,
don't go to Joliet.
There's a club.
That's down south.
Yeah.
Another place I don't go. Yeah. I stay right near the city.
Yeah. And you know, I started in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which I know we've talked about.
You did.
I did.
Yeah. Why would you go down to Joliet? Why Joliet and why Peoria? That's so you don't want to just want
to
just play the city.
I think we will go back to the city probably later in the year. But you're just hitting these other markets. I mean, it's about hidden markets.
Yeah, you got it.
To go to like different places. They have places to play.
How big is the theater down there in Joliet?
I think it's big. I want to say it's close to two. And so then these are the markets that are going to be interesting to see, because some of them, you know. I don't know. I don't know how they're gonna do.
You're gonna do great, man. You're a great fucking comic. People like to see your shit. They'll come out, Joliet. They'll come out to see you, Joliet. Well, shout out. I've never really been to Joliet, or down south. I never went to Southern Illinois because for me as a kid, it was like there was not, unless you went to school down there. It was hard to go down. It was no reason to go down there. But
well, I'd imagine Chicago, y'all. You know, think pretty high of yourself. And
we do
down on the other state parts of the
we
state.
We are
like
the
New York City. You know.
Yeah, it's
like,
well,
upstate New York. I mean, they don't care for that.
It's just more like if it weren't for us, they wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like just an honest.
You
know how we're the literal means of any sort of income is a booming metropolitan area. You know, especially with
the whole weight of the city.
The whole weight of the Midwest really relies on Chicago's shoulders. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think Cleveland's getting it done. Indianapolis isn't really fucking pulling their weight. You know, Milwaukee is. Blacked out on cheese. So, not that I don't love these places. I'm
the Bucks,
just saying.
Though, ringing Milwaukee around.
Yeah, kind of. Oh,
Greek
Freak. You think that's the revenue? That's changing
Greek
Milwaukee.
Freak? You don't think Greek Freak's
I like
bringing
him.
Heat
no.
to the.
He is a little bit.
Yeah.
Until he leaves. Until he's like, I got to get out of here.
He's a dude that acts like he doesn't want to leave.
I wonder why that is, though.
I think, you know, if it's now, like, what I like is all these smaller cities. are able to, like, look, Cleveland was not anything. LeBron made Cleveland.
Yeah, he did.
And
a good
then,
thing for that.
So you have, like, in Milwaukee, you go there. I mean, if they're smart, like, why, if you come live here, the taxes, I mean, Bryce Harper not coming to Los Angeles because of the taxes, which I think was a mistake, because sometimes you do need to do stuff for your career. But the Greek Freak, he gets talked about as much as anybody on ESPN. No one, you know, it's not like people don't know who he is. And if he goes and wins and does stuff, then why would they not? And then he can, his money goes so much farther.
Yeah, he can, yeah.
He can have, you know.
A mega mansion in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a city, and you're probably not bothered like everywhere else. There's not the pressure of everywhere else. Everything's expanding. People cannot live in Los Angeles or New York anymore. They
That's
can
like
go
you,
live
huh?
wherever. Yeah, I mean, Atlanta shoots everything down there, and
yeah.
New Orleans. I mean, when people shoot movies, I've done movies, but like it seems like everybody's in other.
They're all over the place.
They're all over the place.
No,
so people are never even here. Like, you know, all these movie stars are not here. They're having to go somewhere else and shoot. And
if you're a famous movie star.
Yeah.
If you're a peddler in the business like me, then you got to stick around.
Yes. Well, the auditions
and
stuff
are all
here.
I'm kicking stones around here. I still got to stick around.
But don't you do a lot of like video auditions, like send in?
Sometimes, but a lot of times you go.
It is still better to go.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it was up to me, I'd live somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I do love the Midwest. I think it's like the greatest people on planet Earth. You know, I really do like miss that vibe. Like, and I tease all the other places, but like fucking, I love Wisconsin. It's a wonderful place with a ton of great lakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the vibe is just different in the Midwest. I love all the people down there. I miss it a lot, but there's a piece of me that's like, I can't do it right now. I don't have the ability.
It's definitely,
if you want to still do TV, I kind of still like doing TV sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's easier to do TV from here.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's all made here. So you have to do it. I started touring and that was the route that I took. And so it's brutal to tour out of here, and how much I was going to do it. I didn't want to do it out here.
Yeah.
And then I was leaving them by themselves out here. So I was like, now they're home. And then, you know, my daughter has a life and her friends, and we're, you know, these little girls that she has in her neighborhood that just run over in between the houses.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and so it's nice to, and Nashville luckily is a cool town right now, and I love Nashville, and so it's a cool place to be. It's not like I was moving back to some weird town there, but it's like,
right.
It was like a place where all the agencies are at, and you can.
Oh yeah, that's right. There is, well, and because the music industry too. So yeah. There's a lot of industry that's down there.
Yeah, people are moving there. People have houses there. And
do you did you have that kind of same childhood when you grew up there?
As far as in the industry?
No. I mean, like this whole like this idea of like running around the neighborhood to neighbors' houses and all that stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We would. I mean, we had it. We weren't in the neighborhood as much as we were. But we had like, I remember we would play football like in our. We had 3 yards, and so we would play football in those 3 yards. And then there was a guy across the street that had an enormous yard, and it was just very deep, and we would just play in his yard. And I never asked.
Yeah, no, never asked one time.
Never asked. I don't even know, you know, but I cracked my collarbone in his yard.
He was cool about it.
Yeah. He was mad about us playing in his yard, never asked. he did it. No, my brother tackled me. And then, but yeah, I remember it was very funny. You would just play in their yard and like,
yeah, that's
never,
a vibe.
I would mow my neighbor's yard. She'd pay me $5.
$5
she
for the
was,
whole lawn.
Yeah. I mean, she was in her 80s, Miss Givens. And then I would cut her grass and my grass. And then I'd go up and she'd give me $5, which was a lot.
That's a good amount of cash back. Then they could buy you a lot of soda.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Did you have your grass cutting shoes?
Yep.
Yeah, you had your grass cutting shoes.
We had a hill. Or like just a very small one, but it was very steep. And I remember I had a hard time cutting that because it was, you know, but you just figured it out. Like
the weight of the mower, you're saying?
It would go over it. I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough to hold on to it. So you would just be a lot of like, it just the mower tips over.
Do you remember
over.
The first time you pulled a mower string and it went on?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first, it wasn't like.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, like yeah,
when,
I
when
remember
it,
doing
when you,
it.
When you become like a young man and you can do it. You feel
we were
like
out
badass.
There just trying it. I remember days not wanting to mow the grass and just like hoping there was no gas in it.
And be like, Dad, and then being like,
there's no gas. And then he's like, he doesn't want to go get gas. And then you just didn't have to mow the yard that day.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But I mean, mowing the yard was, you just did it. You had to do it. I did it, you know, growing up. And
now here we pay people.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Do you mow your own lawn?
No.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, we did. My wife would mow, or the first house we moved back, she would do it. And she would do it.
Equal rights.
Right when I come home.
That's right.
From the road. She wouldn't do it while I'm gone. She'd do it as I'm pulling up from the airport, and she'd just get started. And I think she was doing that on purpose to like, oh, I got to mow the grass. I'm like, yeah, you could have mowed it. I was gone for 4 days.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do it?
This sounds like a fight. Yeah. You could have done it before.
You could have done it before, and you're doing it in front of me because I think you're doing it to show me that you're, that's how I would take it, is that she's showing it me, you know, like, well, I'm mowing the grass, I'm working, you're not working.
She's saying that you just got off the road, but you're late, now you're not working, I'm working. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a hard time for them to think the road is work. I think it's a hard time for sometimes.
A lot of people don't think it's work.
They don't think it's work. It's a lot. Someone said, I heard recently, you get paid to travel. That's what you get paid.
I've heard a lot of different versions. Like you get paid to pick up checks. Like you're getting paid to like do the task, which is do stand-up comedy, but 90% of what you're doing is really like maneuvering to get to a place to get the thing done so you can earn a living to go back home.
But the hard thing too is they see it as like it's a party. I mean, like where you're out drinking, you're having fun, you're you know, like, so they think it's you're living your dream. And so when someone sees someone living their dream, then it's not, they don't look at it as work, and it's hard for them to like wrap their head around that.
Sure.
And then you're like, well, it is work. This is,
it's kind of like when you go see a professional athlete, like they are working.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, how much
work goes into it? Well, then too, I always think people see comics and they think it's easy, and you're like, yeah, because we make it look very easy.
So if you work hard, it's easy. Because
you work hard, it's never easy, but you can just make it look easy. You know, when you feel nervous on stage, if you mess up, you know, like I messed up, and everybody's like, I don't know, where did you mess up? But you know where you messed up. And then it's like that, and they just think like, well, I mean, that's why everybody thinks they can do. We do the one thing. I did a corporate show for real estate agents recently, and I told them, I go, I think we have a lot in common. And we both have jobs that everybody thinks they can do.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody thinks they can be a comedian. Everybody thinks they could do real estate. I think I could do real estate. I mean, everybody tries to do real estate because it's just selling a house. Who cannot sell a house?
Many more people can do real estate than can do stand-up comedy.
That is true. That's way more. But we have everybody that thinks they can do it.
Right, yeah, that's the same thing. People do think they can do stand-up comedy. And when they tell you about it, it's very frustrating when they're like, I'm kind of funny.
Yeah, and they think, I just don't want to go on stage. You're like, well, that's part of it.
That's a huge piece.
That they're like, well, I just don't want to go. I always remember people when I moved back to Nashville, like Nashville comics, because I think that they see you back in Nashville and they're like, well, you live here. And you're like, yeah, man, I was gone 13 years. I moved to Chicago with a buddy, and I've never lived outside the state of Tennessee. Like, and then I'm just in Chicago. And
where'd you live?
We lived in Bucktown.
Yeah, Bucktown. Off
Damon
great.
Avenue, and then Chicago and Ashland, the corner of that. I worked at my first place I did comedy was Coyle's Tippling House, and then it became Orange Crush.
Yeah.
But you would do those shows, but I was in, I was in Chicago, and it's like this crazy city that like, it was like wild. Then I remember going to New York, and I remember going around New York when I moved to New York. And I remember just being, like, I was just so confused on where I was. Like, you would come out of the subway and you're like, I don't know where Tennessee is from here. I don't know where anything's, like, I don't know the directions of anywhere.
Right.
You're just like, it's just, you walk out of that subway and you're like, it's just buildings and it's just chaos. And just people are just walking by and people are yelling and you're just like, what is going on?
It's overwhelming.
But that's, you know, but then you're like, yeah, I did that. And then all these comics sometimes that never move from their hometowns. And then they're just like, well, I just didn't. New York, it's all political there. Like, they always say stuff like,
there's a bunch of excuses usually.
Yeah, there's. And you're like, yeah, it is, man. And that's why you have to stay there until it's not. You're a part of it.
Or until you feel like, I just feel like you people know when they're like, I wonder if I should go. It's like, you'll know when you need to go somewhere, if you need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
How long were you in Chicago?
2 years.
And then New York?
Almost 9.
And then here?
2.
Damn. That's wild. Nine in New York. I didn't know it was that long for you in New York for some reason. Yeah. Because I don't associate you as a New York comic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I have, there's some weird ownership that I think you're kind of like a West Coast comic for some reason.
Oh, really? Yeah, I never have got that.
Because when I saw you,
when we started hanging out, I was out here.
Yeah.
No, I was, I'm a New York guy. I'm a big New York guy.
That's so funny.
That's where everything I learned was in New York. Everything.
Your attitude is not New York.
No, but that's, I mean, I'm not from there.
I know, but a lot of guys adopt that personality. A lot of people that move there from somewhere
else. Well, I think everybody's better. I mean, I can have that attitude of like New York. I do have an ownership of the New York scene. I mean, when I moved there, you know, I would see Burr and like, I would watch all these guys, Patrice. You know, I used to sit in Patrice's car, Patrice O'Neill. And which, if anybody hasn't watched his Elephant in the Room special, Patrice would have probably been one of the best ever. Which he died, and that hurt him. And
dying kind of stops you a little bit.
Yeah, that, you know, that really stopped it. But seeing those guys, Geraldo, I mean, I was, you know, just around everybody, it was unreal. And I just think New York guys, L.A. I never know who. I don't know who's your guys out here.
Well, like, Burr is out here.
I know, but Burr's a New York. To me, Burr's a New York. You think he's a L.A. comic?
He's been out here for so long. He lives.
That
out,
doesn't
he loves
matter.
It
he
here.
Was already huge, though. He was already like really.
That's not true.
Not huge, but he was. By the time he left New York, unless he left before I realized, by the time he left New York, he was already start. I think he already sold out like Town Hall. Or,
I think he developed really into like this the booming thing he became when he was living out here. Maybe that's just my opinion, but I do think he leveled up.
But that's when
stuff
comes together.
Yeah.
He built all that in New York.
I guess. This is a New York versus Los Angeles thing then. Rogan. Rogan's massive.
Rogan's an L.A. guy. Yeah.
He is inherently an L.A. guy out
here. Liza.
I mean, there's a LA, lot of people. Whitney. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of top comics.
I'm a big...
Allie.
Yeah, Allie. Well, Allie was New York, though. Allie was in New York. I was
in
New York.
But she busted here.
I know, but it doesn't really matter where you pop. It's like...
Where you put
do
in the
work is where...
But you keep doing the work until you pop, so it doesn't, like...
I know, but most of the groundwork, you know, is where I think you are. It's I guess it's each... It's maybe it's not us to decide. It's the person where they feel...
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's going to be more somewhere, you know. I mean, they could live... I mean, I'll probably... There's a chance I could be in Nashville more than I'm in either of those cities. So, you know, I don't... But I learned in New York. That's where I learned.
That's where you got your teeth. Yeah,
the chops.
Yeah, when I met you out here, it was kind of like you were. That's when you were. I think you were in a great groove. It was kind of like, you know, maybe a confluence of things that were happening that you were really kind of starting to pop.
This
really
stuff.
Hard
well, in. The big saying that I think is true is always like you moved to New York to get good, moved to LA to get famous. It was always the saying I heard. Mm-hmm. And I always liked that saying, like, because it was like, it makes sense. And, you know, and New York is a good place to, is a great place to get, I think, really good. But there's not a lot of industry in New York, even though people think it seems like it is. But it's not remotely like here. Yeah. No one's coming to the shows. L.A. is that idea that there could be, you never know who's in the crowd. New York, you know who's in the crowd. It's no one's there,
yeah,
like, picking people out, like going like, you're going to be, you know, whatever. That's all out here is a lot more of that. L.A.'s got, you know, it is, they do have a Tosh, he's all L.A.
Yeah, but I don't see him around the scene anymore, too. He kind of is so isolated.
But he was a guy that would have been.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean.
D'Elia.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, it was hard for, I started here, so it was weird, you know? I grew up in Chicago and then started here. So it was
you
hard.
You guys have...
The grind here was really hard. You know, people are like, oh, you get good in New York. It's like, you get good here because the competition is unbelievably thick because you have just the best of the best who are already professionals, and there's not a lot of space for you as a young comic. Yeah. So I had to do so much bullshit before I even got even a little bit of recognition. And I sometimes I wish I went to New York because I knew I would have gotten a lot more sets. I would have gotten around more.
Yeah.
Here you really had it's a fist fight to get on these shows. I mean, back then it's not. Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah,
but I just think it's like that. It was a gut wrenching experience that I don't wish on my enemy because it fucking sucked. It was hard to get spots out here. Once a night was big out here. If you could get up once a night as a young comic, that's huge. In New York, that's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
So it's almost like
at the beginning, you could do, if you did mics, you could do more than that. But
that's what I mean, like a book show here was so hard to get.
Yeah, that's where I think in New York, that's why it's so good with you do so much stage time. I mean, you're doing, once you get into the rooms, and when I first moved to New York, it was all clubs. Like there wasn't, you know, they had Rafifi or they had like some other little.
Did you catch a rising? Was that still around when you were there?
No.
Or Dangerfields, none of that stuff was around.
Dangerfield's still there.
Is it still there now? Oh, shit.
But there, I did Dangerfield. That was the last club I got past at.
Who passed you first?
Probably, like officially, I went to Boston Comedy Club, but I was like barking to get on stage.
That's something that people don't really know what that is too. But if the internet's unfamiliar, you have to physically stand out front and then yell. And comedy got a show, great comedy show tonight.
It's Pete Holmes crashing. I did that with Pete. Pete got me barking at Boston, and you stand out. I remember just thinking, I don't want to be on this. I want to get where I don't have to stand on this corner. Like your goals. When you first move to New York, you're not thinking, I want a special. You're like, I don't want to be on this corner.
Right. Can I get
what
inside?
What can I do? Yeah, if I could just be the guy that like at least takes the ticket at the door, that would be huge.
That's a big deal.
And then just because I remember it being just freezing cold and just, you know, I mean, just standing out there. And it was just brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah,
and
it sucks.
You're just like, hey, we got a great comedy show tonight. And no one cares.
Is it free?
Yeah,
that's it, right? Is it free? Free?
No one cares at all.
That's a hard testament to New York comedy that LA comics don't really have to do. LA comics had to like bring friends. You had to like get friends.
They had bringer shows there, but then that was tough because you're like, I moved here.
Well, we don't have any friends either here. Yeah. It was just like LA was like convincing someone at your day job is really what it was. It was like, can you bring everyone from the day job to come to my fucking show?
Yeah.
And that's really what it was for me. It's convincing everyone in my shitty office day job to please come watch me. And I felt beholden to them then from then on, because you're like, even if you were good, even if I did very well and I was strong, it still felt like I owed them something for doing that for me. So it was like, it was like such a cycle I had to live through all the time of like, can you guys come to this show? It'd mean a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hated doing that.
Yeah.
Even when they were like, you were funny. I was like, it doesn't matter. I feel fucking like I held you hostage to come see me, you know? Yeah.
And they have to watch the whole show. And like,
well, that's the hardest part, because there's a lot of other shit on the show. Even if they like you, they're like, oh, those other guys were really fucking bad. You're like,
When you got bigger and then you were able to do bringer shows, but as just like the pro on the show, those were the best shows to get tapes at.
100%.
Because it was like the crowd... You know, as long as they didn't, sometimes the crowd can feel like ownership over their person. So, like, it's hard for them to, like, not laugh at the whole show.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they got to do good for their guy. And then, but, like, once you got out of that, I remember going to Caroline's and they would, those bringer shows were the best shows because it was, when you went up, you were no threat to their friend because you were the professional on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could just go, it was like always a place that you always wanted to get it. And they taped all the shows. So you could get a good, like a great tape to submit for like a late night set.
And they were happy to see you because you were actually solid.
You were a
so to them, they were like, holy shit, this
that
is
guy's
good.
Real
yeah.
good.
I love to see the surprise in a room like that when they go, oh, like they're so excited that you're actually good that now they really get into it.
Yeah.
You know?
They love it.
Yeah, they were already
dedicated.
There's
nothing better. I remember Seinfeld saying that, where the only thing that he misses from starting is the crowd not knowing him. And it is like you. That's something that you got to like really enjoy when you're in it. Because if you blow up, then it, you know, then it kind of goes away. But I mean, now like when I do these shows, and now I know this. You're in a theater. These people are here for me.
It's kind of beautiful, though.
It's beautiful. And now the thing you're going for is like, I got to be as good as what they think I am.
That's great.
And so so you still have that drive. But like, I still do corporates, and these people don't know me, and like. It's
the one guy
fun.
That booked you knows you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
And the other guy's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, he's great, dude. He's big. And like, you know, I was like, no.
They don't give a shit.
They don't care at all.
Yeah.
But doing those shows, corporates, you can still feel it. Where then I'll do old jokes because they don't know anything. And then you're just like, and you just start murdering like real hard. And you can just feel where people are like, what? I remember I went to Burr's HBO One Night Stand taping, which was one of the first things that he did that really took off. And I remember just the crowd when he got done. you could tell that they were like, what? Who like, is just that guy? Didn't, you know, like, it was just like a moment. Like, you could, they're like, I mean, it was, they, when he was done, it was still just like so much, everybody's talking, and you could see everybody being like, what was that? Like, you know, like, I didn't know that that could even be a thing. They're just thinking, oh, we're going to this taping.
Right.
Like, it'll be, yeah, I'm sure it's fun and funny. But then to be like, all those people left going like, no, I got to know that guy's life. Like, if he's near here, and then you got, they, people have to bring people to him. They just didn't understand that
right.
this guy was so good. And that was very fun to sit in the crowd because I knew how good he was. And just be like, watch all these people. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't know who him, know him at that point. But then watching the other people react to going like, what was that?
Dude? Yeah, that's a wild crazy. Feeling to see. Yeah. But I think you're right, though, that it is, it's cool to do a place where all your fans are. Because the challenge is you have to be as strong as you can, which I think makes you a significantly better comic than you were when you are doing rooms where they don't know you. Because I think sometimes we can get lazy where you don't, you know, when you first start touring and you're selling out. I mean, I'm sorry, you're not selling out at all. You know, you're selling half a room. You know what I mean? It's a half pack,
yeah, and
less than
they
half
don't
pack.
Even know. They're
they
just
don't know
there
you, so it just kind of, it almost impedes on your ego sometimes where you're like, well, fuck it. What do I give a shit? I got to go, you know, I got to plow through these.
But you want to, but I would always want to win those people. Like,
oh, yeah, I would try my hardest.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it does check your ego sometimes when it's like, yeah, it's when they kind of don't give a fuck and they're there for the chicken wings and it's a bachelorette party and it's like, at your best light, you still couldn't outshine their kind of discontent because they're just... got it for free or, you know, like that's the hardest thing. So then I used to find myself at those moments being like, all right, I gotta get through it as best as I can.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like now I feel like now I have people paying to see me and fans that I've cultivated. I'm so excited to work hard for them. So I throw my back out, you know, like the first time I ever opened for Rogan, I realized what it meant to like play a room of those, that scale. Yeah. And it really meant working, I mean, hard. Like, I know people don't really understand how hard you work on stage when you're doing an hour of material and you're really pushing it. When you go into those big rooms, you really have to fucking deliver and stay in a great rhythm and keep them captivated, because it's not like when you're on your way in and you're meandering through what you've kind of started to.
There's no pressure on you.
It doesn't matter.
Like, yeah, like when you're opening for, you know, yeah, when you're opening for people, like when I opened for Chris Rock on his last tour.
See a new
comic? On a couple of shows.
Young guy?
New guy.
Yeah.
And he, like, going out, like, there's, you know, I'm going out. I always respected that Chris Rock would bring us, like, he, and Jeslin would go before him, Hannibal. He'd bring, like, you know, I'm not saying we're this great comic, but we're guys that headline on our own, and he would have us open for him, because that's tough, because, like, we're coming out, and, like, we're all going to do really good. We're doing 15 minutes. And we're in a room of 3,000, so he would have to go up after us. And I thought it was like, that's cool that he does it. Rogan, the fact that he takes, you know, a lot of you guys and comics that are can sell out places on that sell out places on their own across the country. Yeah. And he wants to hang out with his friends, but that's a big deal, because like Rogan doesn't have to do that. He can bring a younger comic that's going to be fine, and then
He's at a level where he could bring nobody. He could just be like, someone intro me. I'm going to do an hour and 25 minutes.
But I think it's good that he has to make himself follow. You have to like go like, all right, I got to go bring it. Because I've got to, like, I know like when I take guys on the road and they do good and they're very funny, it's like, I got to make you forget them. Like, because otherwise you shouldn't, if I get done with an hour, you shouldn't be like, man, that opener was great. Like, that shouldn't be your first thought. Like,
well, I hope it's a thought.
I hope it's a thought. No, not saying you want it, but you want the opener to be great. Yeah. I want the whole show to be great.
Yeah.
But it's the pressure of, like, if you were headlining and every comic is, like, when they get done and they're just talking about how funny the opener is, that's not good. That's not a good sign.
That's not a good look.
Yeah. That means you're doing something wrong. So if you bring strong openers, then that makes you stay on top of your game.
Yeah.
To then, that person's pushing you. And then the people leave going, yeah, you want them to be like, the whole show was unbelievable. Like,
who do you bring with you?
I got a guy in Nashville, Brian Bates, very funny. Then I'd take some New York guys.
Who do we know?
Gary Veeder.
Oh, I love Gary.
Gary's very funny. Graham K.
Gary and I bombed at a venue together so hard. We did a corporate in Vegas with Alonzo Bowden and Joel McHale.
Oh, wow.
I bombed a lot harder than he did. I mean, he did just probably just fine, but it was miserable.
Yeah.
It was a room full of Maker's Mark is bought by Suntory Whiskey, and it was all Japanese dudes. It was like it was a banquet hall in Vegas filled with Japanese men eating at a circular table.
Oh, wow.
And I just...
How many people was it?
3 to 5. It was around 3 to 5. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't really tell. It was a massive banquet hall.
100 or?
Yeah, 3 to 500. Oh, yeah, okay. 3 to 500 in a banquet hall, but spread out so bad. You know, the tables are like, they're these massive round tables. It's like... Mm-hmm. How, they're in suits eating steak. They don't give a fuck about me at all. And I remember thinking, I was like, it's going to be fine. I don't give it. I've done these kind of things before. It's not that big of a deal. I couldn't get their attention to save my life.
Yeah.
And they told us to stay clean, stay clean, stay clean. I've told the story before, but Alonzo Bowden came out swinging, did not stay clean.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not going out like that. He's like, y'all never seen an N-word this big before? And they lost it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. I should have just said the N-word when I came in.
Yeah, that's what everybody... Did everybody else start saying that? the doors open.
No, but I mean, those they'll make you stronger for sure, those kind of things. But I try to take out people that I know are really funny just because I want to show them to the world, which is kind of nice for me.
Yeah, yeah, that's the...
And it's like, well, good, I get to have someone go, dude, amazing. And also...
Yes.
I love the people that you were with. Like that, it's... I like to... I want to impress them with like, we did this for a reason, not just like...
You want the whole show to be good.
Yeah, it's stupid when somebody does that. I never understood when someone's like, oh God, the first word, that was terrible, but you know. I mean, the so-and-so was good, but like, ugh. It's like, why would you want that?
I never understood. Yeah,
people do it
a lot. If I had an opener, which I mean, sometimes the openers can be great or they'd bomb or something. But I remember... sometimes I take something, I was like, you got to do good, man. Like, I was like, I don't want to follow you bombing.
No, it's like, way worse.
That's not fun at all. Like, just go do good. So the whole show is then great instead of just going up and like people are, you know, they just hate it.
Having to follow someone that does poorly, significantly harder than someone who murders.
Yeah.
Because...
The energy's good.
Oh my God! Yeah, because at least you get to walk up to something positive.
You get to ride it, and which is so great. That's I would. I remember being in. I was gonna say about openers too. What's tough too sometimes though when people are starting to come see you now too, like they're, I always feel bad because like sometimes like the openers have a tough time because they can't go
the
out.
Are maybe waiting for you.
Their people are very excited to see you.
Yeah,
and. So that's hard because I mean I think everybody knows that there's openers.
Mm-hmm.
You think like it's not like it's a thing. They're like, what?
Where is he?
Yeah, everybody knows that there's an opener there. And then there's also like people can still be seating and like,
oh, that's
you're
tough.
You know, you try to wait and sometimes you have two shows and you're like we can't.
Yeah, you don't
have
a choice.
And then so you got to go do 10 minutes and like, you know. You try to make everything else, you try to just pay them good. And like, so you're like
sorry, man, that's how it goes.
And you know what, it is what it is. And I've had to go up when people are still seating.
Fuck
and
yeah. It's like, I do it with Rogan still. Sometimes when they're seating, we were at some, casino or something and they're still seating. And we waited as long as we could. But they're drunk.
Yeah.
They're rolling in from a casino. So it was like, you know, you got to go. And a lot of times people do yell out, even when they're so excited and I'm doing well.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of a transition to a joke, someone's like, where's Rogan? You're like, they're just excited.
Yeah, they're excited. And you want to go, do you think he's not here?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I'm just going to take all this joke. Time.
Like,
it would be really funny for me to just do like an hour and a half and then we just leave together. And he's like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
He's not
Rogan never shows up.
He just doesn't
come out.
Where
was Rogan? You're like, I don't know, man. He didn't show up.
Didn't make it.
How much time did you do?
2-3 hours?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, when I go in front of Joe?
Yeah.
We usually, if it's Tony and I, we usually do around 30 a piece.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
I guess y'all are headliners, so it's like, and then these people know you.
From him, a lot of them do, because his fan base is, I mean, you know, I don't, and they don't all like you, but you know, the ones that do are dope comedy fans that I've, I'm glad I've taken from him that have been like, oh shit, I like that too. But Tony and I usually do anywhere from 20 to 30, depending on the venue and the show and if we have a second show and all that shit. But Joe loves that shit, dude. He's the first person to be like, when it's just me and him, he's like, yeah, just fucking stretch. And in my mind, I'm always like, no, just stick to a tight time. But he's always like, no, fucking, if I wanted to do 40, he'd be like, do it.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't fucking care. his mentality is more like, go out there and just beat the shit out of them. So then when I come out, it's like, I mean, they're ready. Like just juiced and ready to fucking go. I think that's what he likes. But yeah, I'm happy to do those shows. Doing arenas is hard to articulate. It's the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
Being in arenas as a fan of seeing like music. I've never seen an arena comedy show, but being in an arena comedy show, very strange. You know, 12,000 people is very strange.
Is it I'm trying to think. Rock did one in Vancouver, but I want to say it was like 7. It was an arena. They're local hockey arena or something.
Right.
And so I just got to do that. I didn't get to do any of his.
Seven's a shitload of people.
It's a lot of people. And like I just did Atlanta and it was 2,800 that I just did. But around that number, 2,800, 3,000 is when the laugh is different that you hear.
That's right.
Like anything below that, 2 and below, is it can feel like the laugh is kind of just normal. But then above 3, there's a delay and the laugh kind of you feel it go back. And so your timing has just got to be different. And which I'd imagine in front of that many people,
it's really strange.
The timing is a little, you're just hearing it. It's just so weird.
Well, thank God for those monitors, the feedback monitors, so you can hear yourself and it checks me to slow myself a little bit. Because I can know my natural rhythm is quick. In a club, I'm very fast. I'm usually extremely quick. But when I do those, I like have to be patient because you just learn that you're like, I'm going to step on myself and it's going to fuck up my next joke. So I had to learn it, especially in the round. When we were in the round, was really strange.
Yeah,
you're circling. You're like you're trying to hit all the corners, but you're like, I want to be conscious over where I start a setup and end a punchline. I began to be very conscious as I was learning it to do it.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to stay stagnant on one side because I was like, well, they're not going to get any of this for some reason, even though you're on these monitors.
I like a round.
It's cool.
I'm doing the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, and I've done it before.
Yeah.
And never on my own, but we're doing it on our own, and we did it around. And I think the round is I think it's a great, I mean, they can't see you at all times, so that's not great, but.
Well, they have those,
they have the screens and stuff. But like, even if you're the last row, you're always pretty close, and you can get so many more people.
Yeah.
And then like, you're just kind of always like, well, it makes you move more. I don't move. I'm not a big mover. I do a lot of pacing back and forth. So it makes me turn a little bit more and try to like, you're having to like, you know, go around. And very funny thing I saw in the round though, because it's very confusing when you get done. So when you say goodnight in the round, as you know, it's hard to remember where you're supposed to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did like a benefit show at the round in Phoenix. And the guy's like, all right, good night. And so there's all these ramps that go off.
Right.
And so he just heads down a ramp and it's just a locked door. And so it's just like he had to like sit there for a second and then you just see him walk back up and then walk off the other way. And like, he chose the one way where there's like,
nothing.
There's nothing. You can't even like go through the crowd if you don't. So he just has to come back on the stage.
Wave again.
Like, hey, everybody. And then just walk back off. Because it's like you get disoriented. You don't
know where you are.
Yeah, there's not like a huge thing that's like exit.
Here. Yeah. No, that doesn't exist.
And so you just are like, where, you know.
When are you doing Celebrity?
Valentine's Day.
Ooh, that's lovely. That's a gift for your wife that she'll never forget, right?
I performed, I think, every Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm about to as well. I'm going to be in Vancouver. And she was like, is that Valentine's Day weekend? I was like, unless they moved it, I think
they have to, you know, my wife's never, you just do it after. Like, you tend to celebrate whatever, unless it's like Christmas or something, or you tend to do this stuff just days later.
Those are fake holidays. I believe in the birthday and I believe in Christmas with family, but outside of that, I don't really give a shit about Valentine's Day. Doesn't mean any of these things where they're like fabricated to make you feel bad. Like Mother's Day, Father's Day is like, okay, I'm nice to you all year round. I don't know, I pick one day to, you know, but anyway, I do that too. I'll travel on those days because it is what it is, but you know, it's like
I've got to golf on Mother's Day. Past 2 Mother's Day.
That's a great day to golf.
Yeah, you go out there and because no I ran it because my wife would go to with her mom mm-hmm. and her and our daughter and her mom would go and she wanted to, they do it like a mom thing, and so I'm like, I mean, like yeah, what am I? Yeah, you're like all right, like I don't know,
I guess,
and I just get to go do
go do your thing.
I gotta do my thing. I'm gonna sit at home by myself.
Mother's Day is Nate's day.
It's my day.
It's really it's about you. Mother's Day has always been about you.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Father's Day is great. U.S. Open's on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And I always think that's
then
fun.
Then it's really about you.
Yeah. And you sit there and watch the U.S. Open. And, like, it's a fun, you know.
It's a me day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to be left alone on those days?
No, I usually try to golf. I'll golf like my brother and my dad. Like, that's we're nice. Golf in the morning and watch U.S. Open and then have everybody over. Jealous. I like having people over. I like having, like, you know. Come to the house. Let's all get together. Like, yeah. Me and my family are close and. So I enjoy when we all get to hang out and do stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm a big, yeah.
You're a lucky man to live close to home, man. And I'm jealous. I will say I'm jealous of that. You're lucky for that. You get to tour from where you're from. And
are you close to your family?
Like, no, I am close, but yeah. they're all in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't get to see them. But when I get to get on the road, it is really nice. If I'm ever near Chicago, yeah. I go home, you know?
Yeah.
I play Madison. I'm playing Minnesota in the new year. I'm going to jet home. It's like,
yeah.
It's nice to be able to do it because the Midwest has so many gigs, you know, so many places to just make it a pinpoint. So, yeah, I'm doing this tour.
Chicago's easy to go to.
It is. I'm doing a tour next year, and I'm going to stop by a few times, man. How many dates? Do you have a ton of dates coming up?
We're doing a whole 50 massive, cities.
50?
50 Holy till May, shit. And then we'll probably do another 50 in the we haven't nailed down the fall yet. But
well, there's only 48 cities in the U.S., so that'll be tough to do. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, not 54.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Two more, twice?
Double twice.
It's a callback if people remember it.
Oh, people checked out a lot.
You want to see this? Yeah, they're all sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to see this sexy beast, Nate Bargatze, live, I highly recommend it. I really don't. You don't need my voucher. He's a phenomenal comedian that I'm sure most everyone has already been aware of. Specials on Netflix. Another one that's going to come out. When?
Oh, I probably won't be out till 21. I don't. We don't even
you're
have.
Film
it's not
next
even
year?
Done. My goal is to tape one next year.
Yeah, you're gonna do another one. Let's be real.
So,
you're hot as a pistol, kid.
Yeah,
you gotta do it. Where do they gotta go? NateBargatze.com.
Yeah.
Nothing funky. I always funny when somebody's like,
I have an I am Nate too.
I am Nate.
.com. I did that a long time ago just because. So people, like, if you're doing morning radio and you can just go iamnate.com.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it's just that. But, you know, nowadays I think you should be able to. Someone told me today, he tweeted something at me, and he's like, and just so you know, before I tweeted this, I couldn't remember your name, and I just Googled Tennessee comedian, and you came up.
That's that was huge nice. That you're the guy.
Yeah.
That you're the Tennessee comedian guy.
Tennessee comedian.
You have that market. Can't do that. LA comedian. See how that works.
See how that goes. Yeah, you know, who?
It would all be
there was
Delia.
Someone that when I first started, I remember I looked up New York comedian, and he was almost like a guy that figured out the website very early.
Right.
And this is when I first moved to New York in 2004. And if you Googled New York comedian, he would come up.
That's insane.
And it was, but this was 2004. So it's like, I think before people figured everything out. And he just knew how to direct that.
It's like what Dane Cook did with all that shit. Dane Cook learned how to drive traffic from MySpace.
Yeah.
He was really, he learned how to do all that shit. He like beat the game and was like, every search on MySpace for comedian would go right to him. He was like the number one comedian on MySpace. I never had any of that ingenuity. I still don't. I'm so dumb with that stuff. I'm so bad. Like, it's a whole process. But go to NateBargatze.com. Go see this dude. You're a funny dude, man. I'm very happy for your success.
Yeah,
I wanted to
thank
continue.
You as well. I think you're a big fan of you. My sister's not because the one show she
one
went
show.
To.
Yeah, his sister Nate went. Sister went to a show and I didn't do that well in Nashville. It was my worst show.
She said it was great. I don't. But that's very funny that you were like that was the worst one.
It really was. Yeah. Sometimes when somebody goes. I loved it, and you're like, I didn't enjoy almost any of it. I mean, that I didn't. Do well, or they didn't. It's not like, oh, I didn't get any laughs. It was like, it was fine. It was just for your internal barometer of comedy. I was like, this isn't as good as I wanted it to go.
You can tell sometimes when they leave, you're like, I bet they had fun.
Oh,
but
sure.
I bet they will say they would never know, but I did not give my best performance.
Yeah, I hate that.
But you can tell. But you get, you realize that's why I always think you got to learn how to murder when you first start. Like, you got to really learn what, like, telling a joke that's like uncontrollably laughter sounds like.
Yes.
Because if you don't know what that sounds like, you're never chasing that sound. And so once you learn what it sounds like and you are always chasing that sound, that's the best comics are chasing that sound.
Ugh, forever.
And you see a lot of comics sometimes that have never, I remember one guy one time, he went up and it was terrible. And then I was this was in New York first starting.
Okay.
I just remember the
Gary Veeder.
It was Gary Veeder. Yeah. I remember we're doing a bar show, so it was like whatever. But he came off and I was about to say, like, man, this crowd, you know, who cares? This crowd stinks, everybody's bombing. And right before I could say it, he's like, that was great. And I was like, oh, this guy's never done good. Because he thinks that's great. Because you can train yourself
to think,
to like be like, if you every time you go up, you only get this level of sound. What you hear on stage is different than what you can hear other people do.
Yeah.
So to him, he's like, yeah, it's great. And you're like, oh, it is probably great to you. But you want to go like, but it's not great,
not
man.
Great at
like
all.
You need to realize that's not great.
It's not great.
Yeah, you should be chasing a louder laugh.
It's just as painful when someone who does very poorly all the time when you first start out.
Mm-hmm.
And you get off and you don't mention anything. And then they're like, I had fun. And you're like, no, don't.
Yeah.
I know you didn't have fun, man.
You didn't. There's no way.
Please don't tell me that's your fun.
Your fun's terrible.
It's a bad fun.
Yeah,
you have a sad fun.
Yeah. Like you're going to be like, you enjoy like cutting yourself. You're like, that's fun when you
that's
cut yourself.
That's fun. The blood is neat.
The blood's neat. And you're like, oh, man, you got to get on a roller coaster or something.
you got to get some adventure in your life. Ladies and gents. We're tying out. We're off soon. I'm done for the year, man. This is it for me. I'm going to hang out until the new year. Go to AndrewSantino.com. I'm going to be in Denver.
I'm the end of 2019?
Huh?
I'm the end of 2019? You are,
well, I think we might have one more. I don't know. I think you might be the last
one. You just lying to everybody then?
No. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I got some surprises in store for some of these people. But, go to AndrewSantino.com. For tickets, go to NateBargatze.com. We'll put the description in the link below so you can go. This dude's incredible. I'm happy that you came, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you.
Say hi to your sister in Nashville and tell her I said sorry.
Yeah, I need to get the money back. That's what she wants.
Okay.
I think the tickets were refund.
I think they were $17 or 16 yeah. bucks.
Yeah, 16, 17.
16, 17.
Just buy one, get one free.
Yeah, they were two for one. Do me a favor. This is how we end the episode. Look into the camera and say either a word or a phrase of your choosing. Go ahead.
Dead gummit.
In here, we pour whisk.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey, $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.